only type node.
Yep.
Then we can just use that and we'll build our own version of that inside of Cordal. And that's kind of what I'm thinking will happen. We just got like, two more really badass UI developers. So things are moving a lot more quickly on that side of things. So I think that that shouldn't be a problem at all for us to put together. Like right now we're just focusing on getting, QDN live. Once QDN is live, then like everything becomes possible. So, and then we can focus on getting more coins listed. Like we'll get Raven coin listed and we'll get Pirate Chain listed. And
yeah, Raven and all those other ones. The only one we need is Pirate Chain and Banana.
I mean, you could build your own trade platform for that, but we want to have multiple different coins that we
sell. I'll fund you for making a fork. Make a PirateX fork for me.
We could do that, yeah. I mean, right now I want to stay focused on Cordal, but that's something we could definitely do. It wouldn't take that long.
You focus on pirates. It will focus on you later, I promise.
Yeah.
Make us happy. We make you happy, right, guys? Tell this fucker to make us happy.
Okay, I'll do it.
Perfect. I thought, was it worth it? But that has been a certain
nice.
Wow.
Yeah, we got some hardcore rappers up in here.
So what's everybody else up to, huh?
Well, we typically have Matt. Matt, you want to give us the breakdown, our market report? We usually have a market report on weekly. It's a lot of fun.
Nice.
I see you, Matt. Stop hiding.
Matt?
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
What's up, bro?
Yo, it's good to be here, guys. I've had a few drinks. Like a true pirate. I gotta admit though, it wasn't rum. It was bourbon. I know.
You're a traitor.
What a traitor.
Damn British. We got a British in our midst.
Yeah, the British that conquered me. But I gotta say, I've just been feeling real emotional lately, you know?
Yeah. You want me to put my hand on your leg? Tell you everything's gonna be okay?
Oh man. I wouldn't even half mind it, to be honest.
Crying. I invested it like 5 times this price. Oh my god. It's called trading, you know? If you're not a professional trader, stay the fuck off the exchange.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, in terms of trading, like, emotions will be the death of you in trading. You know, that's like some, you know, buy the top, sell the bottom type of shit when your emotions are running rampant. So, I don't know, my life advice as a 31-year-old nobody is just to, when it comes to trading, just be careful, be aware of your emotions, trust your gut, you know.
Trust
your heart.
Trust your balls. You need to listen to your balls.
Trust your balls and your gut, because your emotions, when you trust your heart, the heart has its own place in manifestation in this reality. But when it comes to trading, the heart, it will do you no good. You know, for me, I sold pretty much most of what I have in a tether because I'm expecting maybe a little bit of downside for Pirate to go below a dollar.
We got a seller over here, guys. Kick him. Bastard.
Come on. I'm just
fucking trader. He goes British on us and then he sells Pirate.
I'm just working with what I got, you know, just working with what I got, but
it's all you can do.
You know.
Those of us with fucking diamond hooks over here, we're sweating our balls off. This guy's like, yeah, I threw it into tether. Guys, I'll put it back in when I feel like it.
Oh, hey, by the way, what's the newest version of the Pirate QT? Is 5.2 still good?
Of the, which one? Say that again.
I'm just, like, the main wallet. Like, I'm running version 5.2. Is that still okay?
Yeah, it's still good. All the versions will always work. All the light versions always work.
Okay, alright. I don't think it's a light one. I think this is a full node. But yeah.
Oh yeah, well it should still work anyway.
Okay, alright. Not to distract people from everything though.
That's one of the good things about the light wallets especially. You could have like a really old one and it should work just fine.
Oh man. Man, you guys cracked me up.
Where's my market report?
The market report, damn it.
We throw him off the plank.
I'm gonna keep it a little short this week. Yeah, I know. The next, like I said last week, we guys really got to pay attention to this monthly / yearly close on the charts. I think it's going to be a strong indicator for a lot of market makers and whales. They're going to see where the trend is really going. We still don't know if Bitcoin just double topped and is in this massive bearish head and shoulders pattern, which could take the price down to 20K or lower for Bitcoin. So we need to see what's going on here. A lot of people are still really bullish. They think Bitcoin's going to 100K. I know that the crypto vigilante is very bullish in that regard. You know, they see Pirate going to 50 bucks, Bitcoin going to 100K. We just really don't know. So my suggestion, what I'm doing is, you know, I'm a trader, so I'm really active on it. So I, right now I'm cash. I'm waiting to buy a bit lower. And, overall, I think it's a great time to be dollar cost averaging in. The Pirate Chain on $2 and lower is an amazing opportunity. Most of the altcoins have yet to take off. If history repeats itself, Bitcoin, when it tops out, the altcoins are going to go into this massive rally. And while Ethereum and Bitcoin have hit the 4.2 fib on market cap, which is a massive indicator of like, okay, maybe the tops are in for these assets. The altcoins, anything from XRP to Pirate Chain has not even touched the 4.2. So, to me, that's what we're just waiting for. The patience is going to pay off. It's a great time to just be stacking your pirate. If you don't have a ton of resources to buy in or to get pirate, then maybe a strategy like I did, like buying in a bit lower, would work for you. But that's just where I'm at. We gotta see where we're at in the new year with the yearly close, the monthly close, and overall, I think January is January is the time to start buying altcoins and crypto. I really do. I think the next 3 to 6 months of crypto are going to be explosive, and right now is a time to just protect what you have and average in if you can, and be patient. So that's not, my market update.
This is not financial advice.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just a pirate. Arr.
We are just research pirates. We're researchers.
R&D pirates, yeah.
Most definitely, but I do believe I got the best charts in the game, so if anybody thinks they got the best charts in the game, I'd like to see them because, you know, man, my support and resistance levels are to the tick.
Nice. But the best charts are in the centerfold of Playboy. So guys, you heard it right there. You know, Bitcoin could go up or Bitcoin could go down. It's the best technical analysis ever. You know?
Come on, man.
If you listen, you gotta listen to your balls, guys. If you, and I got good news for you because one is bigger than the other one. The left one is looking more up than down. You gotta listen to the bigger one.
They call that the descending triangle.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's gonna be a great call tonight. I'm glad to have guests on today, and I'll be here. Be here listening in.
Eventually, I would like to have you start taking a look at the trading on the trade portal because we're gonna have Pirate on there too. But what's really interesting is with Court in particular, there's nowhere else to trade it, right? So the analysis on the trade portal is going to be completely different than it would be on a centralized exchange. So I really want to get somebody who can actually start like trying to provide analysis on markets like that where there's no centralization involved and see like what the differences are overall. Because so far, it has basically been the prices continue to move slowly up no matter what happens in the other markets. So I'm really like keen to see how this plays out long term, but having somebody who starts studying that now and can eventually start give like updates like you just did, but for the trade portal, would be fantastic. Just FYI.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'd love to take a look at that and check out the price action every time.
Actually, why don't you tell Crow about the age of Aquarius? So you might need another sponsor, no?
That's actually true. So we're planning this massive event on February 2nd, 2022. It's It's the last time these dates are going to line up for another 200 years outside of the 22nd of February. But the reason we went for the 2nd is because this falls within Aquarius season. And I'm sure you guys know that the people running the show in this matrix, this game of life, they understand the stars. They understand what consciousness is. They understand reality on levels that we can't even comprehend, even if we think we do. And the time and astrology is every bit a part of that. So it's my belief that we're in the age of Aquarius, that we entered that last year on the Great Conjunction, the winter solstice on the 21st. Just hit that 1 year anniversary. Hence why everyone, at least that I've talked to, is getting sick. They're coming down with kind of symptoms. Something's going on. The energy's changed. The radiation, the ecology, the satellite, all that stuff. I don't know if it's that or if it's the actual planet shifting energies into a higher vibration. Our bodies have to adapt. But my belief is that we're depressed. And I have worked with a dedicated team here in Central Florida to host an event here in downtown Orlando on February 2nd at Lake Eola Park, where we're going to basically declare the age of Aquarius, and we're going to have a nice breathing circle. We're going to breathe together. We're going to have music and vendors and artists and all kinds of speakers talking about freedom and the truth movement. So I just figured I'd bring that up. But all the info is at ageofaquarius.org.
Let's get down to the hairy and curlies. do you accept Court for the sponsorship? Because he'll help you out if you accept Court.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, of course, man. I accept anything because it's $8,000 alone just to cover the permits and the rental costs. So that's not counting any artists or speakers, any bigger names we might have to get out there.
You said this was in February?
Yeah, February 2nd. That sponsorship can absolutely include like a booth if you wanted to have a presence. We know Pirate Chain's going to be there. We're going to be giving out t-shirts and stickers and all kinds of great stuff.
I would love to be there, but I don't think I'm going to be able to make it this time. I have something I'm doing at the end of January in Texas, and I won't be able to like immediately pick up and go right to something else. So, but I would definitely be interested in helping you out. And I think that
just be a sponsor, bro. If you be a sponsor, you get your label on a few things, you know, just to have some type of presence.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Oh, yeah.
I might have you throw up some, like Court fucking like little flyer things that people put together a while ago that have like information about Portal on them.
I'd love to do that, especially because our goal is to have speakers and sponsors that are aligned with the freedom movement, are aligned with the free internet, you know, and that's even more exciting than just someone, you know, like.
We're building the infrastructure that these people are going to want to use, right? And actually in 2 days, we are launching version 3.0, which will allow people to actually put websites up on the Cordal Data Network. The Cordal Data Network is going live in 2 days, man. So, like, it's a pretty exciting time for what we're doing here. And, you'll be able to put up a website that cannot be taken down, that cannot be censored, that cannot be fucked with. Does not have to be paid for. You have a name that you pay for one time. After that, the data and everything else is free. You put up a website on there, and it will be there until you decide to take it down. So it's pretty damn incredible and revolutionary, and everyone is going to love it. Yeah. So in a couple days, man. Yeah. So sweet.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. I'm pretty excited. This is something I've been waiting for like 8+ years, man. I've been putting all this together for so damn long. So,
I know. I've been there with you.
I know. Yeah, it has not been easy a lot of the time, but yeah, we are almost there now, man. Pretty damn exciting times. So,
testing out this guy's crazy theories every time he has one.
Right?
At least somebody's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. No, yeah, definitely. There's just a lot of layers to the internet. Where it's kind of scary when you really look into it, like, do you actually own your website? Do you actually own your content? It's a passion that's near and dear to my heart because we put a lot of work into, you know, developing these things and creating content, and you want to make sure that that's there for the rest of time. Yeah. So beautiful, man. I'm really excited for you. I know what it's like to put almost a decade in anything and just be like, God damn, when's going to be my time, you know? It's about
and Cordo can bring everyone with us, right? Like, it's not about just me. This is about, like, making a new infrastructure for everyone to make use of and to actually have individual sovereignty and ownership over your stuff. And if you did it first, it'll be there because you put it up first. It's just, you don't need copyrights and patents and stuff like that. It's just a much better system, right? Like, so, you know, I'm really, really excited about it. I think that everybody should at least take a look, you know?
Oh, for sure. 100%, dude.
Yeah, open community meeting, guys. Feel free to jump in. You know, this is the mosh pit right here. This is why I do this. Mosh pit.
Yeah, come crowd surf with us.
I could even delete that, the Loose Show channel, man. We're going to do this all the time. I like this.
I'm giving somebody some settings to change real quick for using a VPN to see if it makes any difference. So I'm typing that out real quick.
Yeah, yeah, the VPN that, like, I use Satoshi VPN with Cordal and it doesn't work, but Mulvad works pretty fine, so.
Okay, yeah, I've heard there's, like, some differences, and it really depends on how they've got their VPN configured. Like, some of them tend to block, like, multiple PTP connections. Some of them, like, have issues just because they're overwhelmed. Like, the servers are overwhelmed. So, I don't know. It's really kind of independent. But I can give some settings that might make a difference so you can try them. And then if that doesn't work, then you might have to try a different VPN provider.
I trust Mulvad, guys. But Mulvad, you can pay with crypto, guys. And you don't have to give them any information about yourself. They just give you a key as soon as you pay for it. It's pretty or not. So it's definitely the way you want to do things. You don't want to leave any metadata leakage anywhere. So you're gonna have storage rentals after the QDNs? I know we haven't done the QDN yet, and I'm excited about 3.0, but I'm even more excited about storage rentals because I have a lot of storage to rent out.
Yeah, so public data is obviously completely free. So you will support the creator by literally supporting them and having a copy of their data on your node. Now, if you're talking about private data, like data that you don't want everyone to be able to see, right, that's a different thing. So private data will spawn what's called the data market. And you will be able to, as a node with space, decide how much you think that space is worth and put it up for other people to then rent out for a certain period of time. And those people who are renting it then use that as a redundant copy of the data that they're putting up on their private data. So, yes, there will be a data market for that. And also the data market will be utilized for people who want to be able to buy another redundant copy for their public data if they're not getting enough natural, you know, support and followers and so forth, and they want to pay someone to host that data. They can do that as well with the data market. But that, you know, people need to be a little bit careful with that, because certain things could happen and data could end up on your node that you don't want to be there. So I would be, you know, very careful with that kind of thing. But private data, it doesn't matter what they're putting up because the data is not viewable by anyone other than the person who's putting it there. So that's completely safe. So I think that's how we're going to end up working it out. The data market will be for private data. Public data will potentially have the availability for something like that, but I like it better as a completely natural type thing. If you want to support that content, then you just literally support it by being a data node for it, right? So I think it'll work out really well just with that, and we'll kind of go from there. And ultimately, we'll have the voting system done very soon as well, so people can actually, you know, put up proposals for changes to the system or for, you know, new ideas that they want to see come into reality on Cordal, and then we can pass that along to the development team and get it done.
How about like a rating system, like say somebody has a good storage, you know, person to buy from?
Yeah, the data market will definitely have to come along with some sort of rating system, absolutely. And that can be something that's partially automated where it'll check for the data and check that it's there and make sure that it's always there, right? So we can have like an automated portion of that, and then we can also have like comments and people can post like, yo, this data provider's badass and shit like that. So yeah, it'll be, you know, a lot of things that we can add in that regard, and the community's input is always taken into consideration. So and the voting system is coming out as soon as QDN goes live. It's one of the next things that we're working on. Almost all of it is complete already, so we have just a few things to do on the front end, and a couple things tying in the minted blocks to the weight. But yeah, then everybody will be able to put up proposals on any sort of changes they want to see into the system, and then those proposals get voted on and then get passed on to the developers who then build it, and, you know, that's how it's going to go. So everybody is, you know, part of this. It's not like, you know, know, just the development team can do things and we're the only ones whose opinion matters. No, absolutely not. Everyone can come in, put up a proposal, get their ideas out there and get votes by the other people in the community. And whoever gets, you know, enough votes, then their idea could be built into reality. So even if you have no idea how to build your idea, but you have an idea, that's what it's for, right? So it's going to be a lot of fun overall.
Very awesome. I really want to touch on the mesh networking situation.
I know. Well, I can't yet. I'm not focused on that yet. But I mean, like ultimately, yes, we do want to have a mesh network so that you do not need the internet connection, right? Because we, with QDN, we will get rid of the need for GitHub as well. And we will also be able to allow other people to. So that's another thing with the name, right? So your name could also include your GitHub repo. So your GitHub repo, all of your data, everything, all at once can be sold, right? So that other people can also use QDN for their Git. And I think that that's going to be massive in itself, just having the ability to put Git repos on top of QDN. I think that is massive by itself, just that one little part of it, right? Because, you know, all of these open source projects are all hosted on top of something that Microsoft owns right now. And I think that's pretty sketchy, so we're going to get away from that.
I'm hooked on the feeling. This is going to be awesome.
And hey, right guys, now, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you guys jump in. You know, if you guys got questions about why Cordal is so fucking badass, I mean, now's the time to ask those questions, guys. Like, how is it different than SC Prime? Take a look at SC Prime and the rental services, bro. Can you take a look for it? Just do a little examination for me.
What?
I want you to take a look and do a research examination on their rental storage solution and tell me why.
SC Prime?
Yep, SC Prime. That's the latest one out these days. There are people using for storage rentals in Dutch.
Okay, let me see.
This is why I like Crow, man. Do the research, bro, right in front of us.
Distributed data center, eh? Yeah, we'll see about that. Hold on. Huh. Looks pretty cool so far. Now, how does their storage miner work?
AWS. AWS. Any problem there, bro?
What, AWS? AWS? Yeah, there's many problems with that. Which one do you want to hear?
So I went to one of their meetings, and I didn't stay long, obviously. Once I started hearing that they're using AWS for the storage, and
Is that what they're doing?
And they're totally okay with KYC and all that stuff. So I was like, I was like, yo, I'm a pirate.
Their concepts on the surface look pretty cool. I was like, okay, yeah, like so far so good. But like, yeah, okay. If they're using AWS, yeah, that's a fail completely. Like 100%. But I see things like a Raspberry Pi starting guide. So I'm not like really sure. I don't know. I'd have to look at it a little bit longer to see like what exactly is going on here. But what are they mining exactly, and how does their mining work? Does the mining have anything to do with the storage, or is it just something like Sia where you're mining on a graphics card and has nothing to do with anything? I don't know.
I think it's like Sia actually, but I know I think it's a token, man. I think it's a token.
I mean, that's the problem is that most of these things are built as fucking shit tokens, and shit tokens are just shit tokens no matter what you say they are. They're still shit tokens, so.
I was hoping Filecoin would have brought us that solution.
Yeah, well the problem is Filecoin puts all the data on the chain, and that's okay I guess, but the data can't be all on the chain. Sorry guys, it just won't work like that. That's why Cordal does not put the data on the chain, but only hashes of the data on the chain so that the chain can still verify and secure the data, but it doesn't have to actually store it all, because you're asking, like, you're going to say that every single full node is going to have all of the data on the internet on it? I don't think so. That's not going to work. That's exactly why the original data storage model of Quora also couldn't work, because the data was actually on the blockchain. So you can't really do that. And Qortal will also be able to do things like completely off-chain data, and allowing a whole plethora of other things to happen in the near future, but too.
I thought the website feature was on-chain.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it is. Right now, the starting point of it, the data's not on the chain, right? But the hashes of the data are on the chain. So, and we've actually taken it a step further so that we have a metadata file that has all the hashes of the data in that, and then a hash of that file is on the chain, so that, you have no data file size limits as far as how big of a file can be actually put up onto QDN. So we've solved that problem.
Where does the data actually go? So say I have the index.php file. Right.
Yeah.
Or index dot whatever. Right.
Right. Yeah. Not PHP, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know. So I have that file. Does that file go in the chain, or where does that go?
No. Okay. So what you will do as a person looking to put up a website, you will create your entire website, and you will have a folder with that website in it. You'll zip that folder, and then you'll publish that folder in the Qortal UI with the websites portion, the new websites portion that will be there in a couple days. You will browse to that zip, you will upload it, and what it will do is go through and hash all of those files for you, publish them all on the Qortal chain so that those files are then tracked and secured on the chain, and your data node will become the first peer for those files, right? So, and everything's with the name, so it's your people who want to follow you and want to help you by making a copy of your data for you can follow your name, and then they will automatically become a peer for your data, right? So, yeah, it's going to be basically like a mix of torrents and IPFS and a bunch of other decentralized data concepts all in one, but done more, done better, and with a blockchain that secures everything and eliminates the need for things like discovery of the data, right? Because everything's just on the chain, so it's easy to find. Yeah, it's going to be
kind of works like
badass.
IPFS. It's a little bit like IPFS.
A little bit like IPFS, a little bit like a torrent, a little bit like a bunch of other decentralized data concepts, but everything done really easily all in one place and with a blockchain that secures everything.
But if I wanted to access that index.php file or the index.htm file, where would I find that afterwards?
Okay, so once you have published a site, right, then other people can see the names with websites on them, and they can click them, or you can tell people, yo, here's my name, I have a website, right? Once the person views that name, then they will download the files to their computer and access your site from their computer. So then their computer becomes the second peer for the data, and the next person who accesses it then does the same thing, and so it gets more redundant, it gets more anonymous, it gets more secure as time goes on, and faster, because more peers means you can download the data more quickly, and so forth, yeah.
Nice. How many peers you got so far in the network compared to Litecoin?
Okay. Last time we actually had an accurate number. On the Explorer, we had to change the method for like actually finding out how many nodes there are overall, because we weren't accounting for nodes who had IPs that changed and so forth. So I think right now the number is somewhere around 4,000. So yeah, and every single peer on the network right now will update to 3.0 with an auto update. So we will have essentially 4,000 potential data locations, when we go live with 3.0 in a couple days. Yeah.
Nice.
It's going to be crazy. First thing I want to do is move Croetic.com, and I already have Croetic.com registered. Yes, I'm going to use the .com just because .com, I don't know. And I'm going to move Croetic.com over to QDN, and I want to build the first website that actually allows payment processing and everything else to be done, so I can demo that for people, and then people can copy those ideas and use them for whatever else.
Pirate Pay upgrade. I already see the Pirate Pay upgrade happening.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you registered it on Qortal? Like, someone said I just registered Croetic.ca. I'm like, you registered it on Qortal? Oh, that's cool. You own one of my names then, I don't know.
Hey, Jason, it's Josh or Joe Mega. How you doing, brother?
Yo, what up, man?
How you doing, Lutz? Good to see you, man.
What's up, brother?
So I got a question for you, Jason, and maybe some, you know, that you can talk about with how people could build or developers could build like applications on top of Cordal or, you know, there's been a lot of stuff popping up like, you know, DAOs and all this DeFi stuff. Like how can developers of that type of stuff, whether it be DeFi in general or whatever, build on top of the Cordal blockchain? Cause we need to get, you know, from my vantage point, more developers building stuff on top of the chain.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're going to do first, right? We'll have the website stuff, up immediately. And then the next thing that we're going to do after that is work on what we're calling the Cordal App Store, essentially. So, what we're going to do there is we'll build a couple demo applications in JavaScript and then give people like ideas on how to build these applications in JavaScript. Most of the things are going to need to be done in JavaScript at first, right? Because we're not going to have back end support initially. That will be something that will come down the line. We have, Cal has already put up an idea on the wiki on how we can build a decentralized LAMP. So like we will be able to do that in the future, but right now it'll be client side only. So people will have to work on developing their applications in JavaScript. Once they have developed a JavaScript application, deploying it will be basically the same thing as deploying a website, right? So you'll build, your app into essentially a website and then deploy it on Cordal, and then that name will just function as the app. And as we get further along, there's a lot of other things that I plan to be able to accomplish with Cordal. Another thing that I was initially thinking would be able to launch another chain, like a side chain, right? That would be like a plug-in chain that would run along with Cordal, and then you could actually use that chain as a database for an application, because our database, the chain database, is actually a SQL compatible database. So that database could then be updated the same way that auto updates are done, but with a different group being the group that has this, whatever approval threshold to update that database. So there's a lot of things that we can do in the future, but initially it's going to be JavaScript focused applications. So any JavaScript application could essentially be hosted on top of Cordal in the same fashion as a website. So you'll build that application. We'll give you some demos. We want to build out a demo of like a video hosting platform. We want to build out a demo of like a blog platform. We want to build out a few different demos just so people can take and clone those demos and modify them and start with that. Or, you know, the world is your oyster, right? If you're a JavaScript developer, you can develop whatever the hell you want that will work in all JavaScript, right? So if you develop any application in JavaScript, which I think explorer.cordalnodes.live, I believe, is all JavaScript. So I think that app, that website will be able to be put on top of Cordal pretty much immediately. So those types of things that are written in JavaScript will immediately be able to be hosted on top of Cordal in the same fashion as a website. And we will like continually add new functionality and give more details and more ideas as far as what can be done once we get it live. Like the main focus right now is just getting it live, so then we can start demoing things, and then we can start building out more demos, and we can, you know, give people a bigger like range of ideas as far as what's possible now and what will be possible in the future and what changes we're going to be making. And of course, having those people also help us decide what changes should be made and so forth. So right now, getting the data network live is the main thing, and having the support for websites and so forth. And then anybody can take that and do whatever they want with it as soon as that's live. And then we'll get further along and start demoing some applications, and other people can, you know, build applications and demo them as well. It's going to be crazy, man. Like basically all of the work like that's gone up until this point just makes it so now there's a whole hell of a lot more work that needs to be done from this point on, because this is like really when, you know, this is the new internet starting here. So a lot of developers are definitely going to be necessary, and luckily we've gotten...
Didn't I tell you developers will be kings of this world?
Oh yeah, I've always said that. And man. Like, that's why I've always thought the most badass developers I could find, I always tried to keep them around as much as possible, and they were the ones who ultimately helped me build Cordal in the first place. So yeah, developers are going to be absolutely essential to all of this, and they're going to be able to earn their own way by doing these types of things for people on Quartal, right? And I have multiple different ideas for like jobs markets and things to get things developed and markets where you can actually purchase goods and services and other things like that. So there's a lot that can be done. We'll demo a lot of it and then other people can kind of take that and run with it. We can also have people submit ideas for new things that they would like to see and we can go from there. So like that was kind of a loaded question with a lot of answer to it, but development of JavaScript applications and hosting those applications will definitely be possible basically as soon as it launches, and it'll get more fully featured and so forth as time goes on.
Awesome. Thanks, brother. I mean, you know, I'm obviously a huge proponent of Quartal, so.
Yeah, for sure, man. No, it's going to be completely crazy, man. Like, I'm like mind boggled that this is even a reality because this has been so long and so much effort and so much money and time that I've put into this personally, and so many other people have done the same thing. And like now to say that we're a couple days away from literally being able to rebuild the internet is freaking amazing. So yeah, I'm stoked, like completely stoked right now.
Yeah, and Pirate's a big part of that, guys.
Absolutely. We definitely want to get support for Pirate as soon as we can. Right now, literally, we're focused fully on Quartal Data Network as soon as that is done. One of the next focuses after that in the voting system, which shouldn't take very long, is getting support for Pirate. And we will have to build our own wallet for that, so no, that won't be something that'll happen like within a few seconds. It'll be something that'll take us a little time because we have to build our own node or our own client inside of the UI specifically for Pirate because they do not have Electrum support and the developers don't feel like developing that apparently. So we will have to work around that and build our own. So that's
a little bit
of time. But it's okay. Like, we'll do it. I've said this for a while that we're definitely planning on doing it. The cross-chain trades take a little bit of effort, and we'll get it done, you know.
So we...
Yeah.
All right, guys, any more questions? Come on, we can talk about anything you want, guys. This is the mosh pit.
James True says, sounds like you could have set up something like Morales. What is Morales? Might have to look that up.
It's like a cross-chain communication API, and what's really amazing is because they've got the database hookup set up, you're opening developers up to like a whole new world because they don't have set up hosting platforms. And
right.
So the sooner you do what you're saying you're going to do, I would just see a huge opportunity to grab developers as they're going on there. And Morales is doing that right now really well, by the way.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll definitely take a look at that. And if you've got any sort of connection to the people working on that, we can definitely, you know, talk with them and show them what we're doing and so forth. Yeah.
Hello, 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 hello. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, or afternoon, or whatever.
And Happy New Year to all.
Yeah, Merry Holidays, guys.
Oh, I see what Morales is. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, what you're talking about is actually more than Morales. I just meant
that
Morales is really grabbing a lot of the market. Why? Because they have this super friendly SDK API available that's
right.
Like instant cross-chain. And I'm just saying what you're talking about is that and more because
right.
It's its own chain too. So it's great stuff.
Yeah, man. The stuff like what Quartal is doing has never been done before. Like not exactly the way that we're doing it. And that was with intent, right? Like me and multiple other people have put a lot of time and effort into making sure that everything in Quartal allows for complete individual sovereignty and no middlemen whatsoever, and allowing all of these things that we knew that blockchains could help with all in one place and making it easy to use, right? So yeah, the data network is going to be absolutely incredible. I am so excited to see that in like actually functioning. We have some demos already up, that I can show you guys, if you want. The demo of our Cordal website and our wiki are hosted right now on the test net of the data network. So you guys can see it literally looks exactly the same as the regular website, the WordPress site, and it actually is. It's just converted to be a static site instead of a WordPress site. And so we can also do that, right? So people could, in theory, use a WordPress server as a staging server, then run the completed content on that WordPress through a converter, which we could eventually put into the UI. So you could literally input a web address in the UI. It would convert that and upload it to Cordal data in a flat format. And so that would be pretty incredible too, right? So that's something we can actually build into the UI, something that will convert an existing site into flat files and allow it to, you know, be hosted on QDN. So that's something that I would like to see in the, you know, shortly near future here, like a couple months hopefully. So yeah. The potential is like endless as far as what can be built on top of it. Pretty much anything you can think of, especially when we get to the point where we can do server-side stuff too. But even without server-side stuff, you can do a whole shitload with JavaScript and the stuff that you can do with flat files. So like we'll definitely be able to replace YouTube and any sort of hosting platforms like that really easily. Blogs and social media, we can do voice and video communications, all kinds of different stuff, right? One of our UI developers is actually in here talking right now, so you guys can listen to him. Yeah.
Time to get on here, man. Tell us, what are you developing?
He's typing in the weekly meeting chat right now.
Yeah?
Yeah, quick mithril, yeah.
Oh, I know him.
Mm-hmm. He actually came from your community, so, and he is now one of our lead UI developers, so.
Are you stealing my talent, motherfucker?
Yes, yes I am. Yeah. Actually, he stole himself, I think. Oh, really? Yeah, oh, it's the other way around. Yeah, oh, okay. Aha! So, see, you stole him, or whatever.
Hey, I'm a pirate, man. You should just get
my
shit.
Right? I think everybody should work together, so I really don't think that any of this shit should be like, oh, this is a separate thing and that's a separate thing. I think we should all just be like, let's build the best thing together, right?
Yeah, well, that would be nice.
That would be better, yeah. We all have a common, like, goal here, right? We all have a common, like, issue, which is the people that are doing everything now. Like, so we're going to build something that's better, and hopefully people will use it, yeah.
Building the parallel economy, guys. All these technologies coming together.
Yes, sir.
You know, Pyre will add to your anonymity set.
Yeah, until eventually we rebuild Pirate as a Cordal chain. That's what I would like to see. So you guys don't have to worry about fucking proof of work anymore. But that's a little bit down the line because we need to develop anonymous transaction types first. Yeah.
That would be interesting.
I think that's what I would like to see happen, but yeah.
Is that like a wrapped version?
No, like the same thing like what I did when we swapped from the Cora chain over to Cordal. You could have people burn the coins on the old chain and then literally launch a new chain from Cordal, and you would be able to mint it with a new set of minting rules and whatever you decide. And basically it would just be another chain that runs alongside of Cordal as a plug-in, essentially. And
I don't think we're willing to give up ZK Snarks.
Do what now?
I don't think we're willing to give up our ZK Snarks, bro.
Well, you don't have to do that necessarily. I don't know how our anonymous transaction type will work yet because we haven't built it yet, but it might be the same thing or it might be an improved version of that. Yeah.
It would be interesting.
Right.
Pirate 2.0.
Exactly. Did you talk at all yet about, I may have missed this in the beginning when you guys were chatting, did you talk at all about how data nodes might get rewarded for hosting data by any port or anything like that from the minting perspective?
Yeah, okay. So there were some ideas regarding that in the very beginning when I wrote the first paper for Quartle. Those ideas have since been kind of modified. So what we're going to do initially is public data will be completely free. That means you don't have to pay for it to use it. That also means you don't get paid for it when you are hosting it, but you will basically host the sites that you like. So you view the content, you become a peer for it. If you decide you like it, you become a peer and you stay a peer. If you decide you don't like it, then you can just delete the content and there you go, right? But so as far as earning anything from data, that will come when we do private data. So for people's, you know, personal private data that they want to use Quartle to back up copies of that, then there will be the data market where people will be able to put up their data space for a certain period of time and decide how much that's worth. And then another person can come along and rent that space from that data node provider, which will have like reviews and will have automated data that comes along with it to show how much uptime they have and so forth. So they can choose, you know, which hosts they want to use that are, you know, rated well. And so you'll be able to choose one of those and pay whatever fee that they set in the data market. So there will be a whole other market for this, the data market, where you'll be able to pick which hosts you want and how many you want. And then you'll have that many copies that you'll pay for based on the period of time. So it'll probably be in blocks because that's what makes the most sense on a blockchain. So however many blocks represents however much time, right? So you say like this many blocks is 1 month, and you'll pay that data provider however much of a fee for that period of time. And if you want to have it automatically renew, I think we can do a smart contract for that. So you can fund that smart contract, and then that smart contract will pay that fee automatically for you. And then if it runs out, then it runs out, right? So yes, that is how data providers will earn from Quartle Data Network. It'll be private data only. I also think we could do it with public data, but I'm a little bit leery to do that because then someone could just buy someone else's node for public data. That means that that person's node will have data on it that people can access, and that, like, it's better if you know what data is on your node, right? So if somebody rents your node for public data and then puts up something that you don't want on your node there, but they're paying for it, what do you do then, right? So it's better, like, private data, the only person that can view that data is the person that put it there, so private data is safe to do that with. So public data makes more sense to be completely free, and you support the content that you find worthy of being supported, right? So I think that's the best way to go about it. I don't think we're going to be modifying the block reward and allowing those kinds of things to take like coin from the block reward. I don't think that that's going to be a thing that we're going to do, but it's possible, right? In the future, whatever we decide can be done. But I don't think that that's the way that we're going to do it. We're definitely not doing that initially. It'll be completely free for the public data. And when we get to private data, there will be an option for purchasing multiple redundant copies yourself, right? So however many copies you want of that data, you can then pay someone to make that available for you.
Right on. And what kind of system are we talking about for, you know, like, could I do this on a, like a MacBook Pro, or would I need something a little bit more robust to, you know, be a data node?
No, even the Cortector, which is a Raspberry Pi 4, will work just fine to be a data node, because literally all it's doing is holding and serving data. It's not like doing any sort of processing, because there's nothing server side, right? So everything is done client side. So the processing power of the client computer is what matters, not the processing power of the server computer. So yeah, any computer, the same thing. And I want to keep this to, like, this is always one of the fundamental things that I want to keep Quartle being able to be, is running on every computer, right? Or, you know, quote unquote, every computer, right? So I want to keep it to be able to run on the Cortector, since that's the device that we're building, and that's like one of the lowest power devices that you can get, the Raspberry Pi 4. I want everything to continue to be able to run on a Raspberry Pi 4. Now, in the future, obviously, if we're getting to like game servers and things like that, that might be a little bit different, but ultimately the goal is to keep everything being able to run on a Raspberry Pi 4 with a 500 gig solid state drive. So obviously if you want to host more data than 500 gigabytes, you will obviously need to plug in another drive or something, right? But that's really the only thing. So ultimately every computer that can run Qortal will just automatically update into version 3.0 and will have the ability to host data. So there's no difference.
Cool. Thanks, brother.
Yeah, it's going to be sweet.
All right, guys. You got Qortal here, guys. In 2 days, they're going to go live with 3.0. It's a pretty big event.
And, Can't say for certain 2 days, but we're shooting for the 31st. So it's going to be the 31st or like very close to the 31st. So I say 2 days, but it might be like 2 or 3. I don't know. But we're shooting for the 31st for the launch. Yeah. People have to remember that this is like technology that's never been built before. So like putting a date on it is really hard, but the core developer is actually the one who gave me this date and he's been trying to shoot for this date for the last couple months. So like this has been in development for over 6 months. So this is finally now to the point where he's still on target. So I believe that we should be fine within the next couple of days. Yeah.
All right. Very cool. Very cool.
And yeah, every operating system runs Qortal, every operating system. So we have support for Linux, Mac, Windows, BSD, literally like every operating system. Anything that can run Java can run the Qortal core. So,
What's the potential? What's the potential as far as nodes are concerned? Now let's talk about nodes on a blockchain, right? What's the big deal in having so many nodes on a blockchain? Why should we even care how many nodes are on a blockchain? Litecoin or Bitcoin, if they have so many nodes, what's the big deal if there's a full node or if there isn't?
So full nodes are really, really important to decentralization. So if you're focused on a network that's going to be completely decentralized like Qortal is, we don't even have anybody who's doing centralized trading or anything. Everything on Qortal is done completely P2P. Now, every node on Qortal is representative of an entire copy of the chain. So without at least one of those nodes running, you don't have anything. So the more nodes you have, the more copies of the chain that you have, the more redundancy you have, the bigger, the better, the stronger, the faster the network is, especially when it comes down to the data nodes, because every single individual node is now potentially a data node, right? And so each data provider, each person who's putting data up has potentially 4,000 peers to become redundant copies, to make their website load more quickly, to, make it more anonymous for them and everything. So the nodes are very, very important when you're talking about decentralization. And when it comes to Qortal, I believe that we're rapidly approaching the size of the Bitcoin network in terms of full nodes. Like most people right now who are using Bitcoin do not run a Bitcoin full node. And I believe that that's an issue because that means the hands of the people who are running the full nodes are the ones who have the control over the network, right? And the miners, right? So the thing is with Qortal is that we're literally trying to put all the power back into the hands of the people who are running the network. And in order to do that, everyone needs to be a node. And everyone needs to have equal opportunity to come in and be part of it and have the ability to mint Qort, have the ability to use it for their purposes, have the ability to view content there, and so forth. So running a node is extremely important on a decentralized network. Absolutely, yeah.
How big can Qortal get compared to what we have now? What makes you – like I know because I can see – be infinite, but like how is comparing to normal nodes on like on a normal chain, whatever that is, maybe Litecoin or Bitcoin, we'll say Bitcoin, like how many nodes does Bitcoin have, and how far do you see it surpassing Bitcoin?
Oh man, okay, so last I checked, actually, Bitcoin has 6,000.
I think better.
Yeah, Ethereum's better, right? Yeah, Ethereum's better. So Ethereum has, let's see, let's look it up real quick. How many full nodes does Ethereum have?
Because everything done on Ethereum will be done on Qortal, so very similar type of stuff.
Yeah, but much better. They do everything stupidly, in my opinion, but yeah.
Well, they create token proxies.
Okay, how many full nodes are there on the Ethereum network? Finding this answer might be not straightforward. Let's see. Okay, so here's a post that says Ethereum has lost over 6,500 nodes. Let me see. Here's a statistics site. Hold on.
Why would that happen?
If
people are motivated by minting, if they had minting, they were motivated
right.
to put online to get some coins.
Exactly. Yes. Why
would they go mind. There's no, because there's no motivation to continue.
Right.
If you're not making money on it, because it costs a lot of electricity. But with minting just doesn't cost you anything, but leaving a computer on costs something.
Exactly. Yep. You just have to run a computer. That's it. And a Raspberry Pi 4 costs you 5 watts. So basically like charging your phone all day. And you can run a minting node on that, and that's it. So, I mean, I'm just going to guess and say that there are about 6,000 nodes, full nodes, on the Ethereum network. I don't know. I can't find that number for some reason. Last I looked it up, I thought it was somewhere between 6 and 8,000, which if you look at how many people know about Ethereum versus how many nodes they have on their network, it's pretty, like, crazy, right? So there are only 8,000 nodes. Let's just give them the higher number just for fun, right? Like, there are only 8,000 nodes.
Say 10K. Some people say.
Yeah, 10K. Even 10,000. Okay, fine, 10,000. Say there are 10,000 nodes on their network, but how many people are aware of Ethereum? How many people know about Ethereum right now? And why?
I think it's why.
Yeah, exactly. So why are there only 10,000 nodes on their network? Why do they not have more? That's a great question, right? Like, I know the answer. There's multiple reasons why they don't have more, but they should, right? If they have that many people that are aware of their platform, why do they only have 10,000 full nodes? And why does Cordal already have upwards of 4,000 full nodes when how many people are aware of Cordal? Not nearly as many as who are aware of Ethereum, right? Like, so basically the concepts of Cordal were built in such a way to facilitate the network having more full nodes. And it's working.
I think once Cordal goes mainstream, and not mainstream like ETH, that would be great, but we got a long time for that.
I don't like the term mainstream, but yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? As soon as it gets, in people's purview, you're going to see this baby take off like a fucking rocket.
Oh yeah, like the number of nodes has already increased by a massive amount. We are just trying to make an algorithm that will actually calculate it correctly, because it's really hard to like actually figure out how many nodes are really on the network, because people's IP addresses change all the time and so forth. So we're actually building a new way to do that, and we're developing it in the back end so that it can actually be tracked like that. So you will use the node ID plus an IP address and so forth. So we will be able to accurately track how many nodes there are on the network. I know right now the number is close to 4,000, if not probably more than that now, because there are new people coming in on a daily basis, and everybody who comes in is installing a full node, because that is literally the only way that you can do it, right? If you want to get into Cordal, the only way that you can do that is by installing a node, and any type of node that you install right now is a full node, whether it's a top-only node, which only keeps the most recent 1,500 blocks of full information but still has the rest of the blocks, it's still technically a full node, or you're running the regular full node, you are a full node, right? So every new person who comes in is a full node on the network. So
now,
it's
now when Pirate gets added, will that increase the amount of nodes on Pirate Network?
Yes, it will, depending on how we build it, right? Like, so what I'm thinking is if we do the same thing like what you guys have with your light nodes, then yes, every single Cordal node would then become a Pirate light node too. Yeah.
Okay, you guys understand where Lutz is going with all this shit? or you think I'm just shilling fucking Cordal for my health? And that's going to do wonders for our non-set guys. It's going to be sick. So anybody, that's what Monero says. We don't have we do have the non-set that they wish they had. But, they're saying we don't have the people, the amount of nodes specifically that they have, right?
Well, so they're a lot older too, yeah.
Exactly. If we've been around fucking 8 years, yeah, I'm sure we'd have that too. But this will substantially accelerate the number of nodes.
Yeah, since you guys don't want to build Electrum support and we have to build our own node inside of the UI for you, yeah, then yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it'll definitely help, for sure.
But get it done. Get it done.
Yes, right. Yes. It's definitely something that's on the list, and it's up near the top of the list. We're just trying to get through Cordal Gaming Network launch now, and then after that, like anything becomes possible. So there's a lot of stuff that we'll be ending up doing after that.
It'll be a really awesome partnership, guys.
Yeah.
Especially since I plan on opening up an orphanage using the Cordal node that I have. And the Cordal node will pay the orphans and pay for their food and whatnot. And I want to create a self-sustaining orphanage using Cordal.
Nice. Yeah. So there's a lot of things like that can happen, right? And I'm talking with someone else who is getting me in contact with the city of Beaverton, Oregon. And I'm talking with them about potentially doing the same thing for their school district and getting them learning about Cordal and running minting nodes and, you know, helping them out that way too. So it's going to be quite interesting to see what happens in the near future. I've got a lot of different things that I'm going to do. I'm flying to Texas next month to talk at the Greater Reset. And then after that in February is when I'm going to meet with them in Oregon. And there's just so much stuff that's coming back to back now. So it's going to be crazy.
He's attending events now, guys.
Yes, yes,
start
I am.
Getting into the open once he starts, you know, at these attending these events. On that note, we are also, Pirate is also going to be a sponsor of what's that called? The Greater Reset. And
yeah.
We'll be there as well, guys. You'll see we have a presence on the website now.
Nice. Are you going to be there in person?
I can't answer those questions.
Oh, you fucking guy. It's a new question about Raspberry Pis, eh? Can a Raspberry Pi simply be plugged into a computer and use native OS installed on the computer? No. The Raspberry Pi is a computer itself. It has its own OS. We have actually developed a custom Linux kernel that is built specifically to run Cordal, and it runs all cryptographic stuff a lot better than something like Raspbian or Ubuntu. But basically, it's a full computer system. You can look at Croetic.com, which is my company's website, Croetic Hardware Development, and we are building those devices you can see there. And they are built from a Raspberry Pi 4. They're a standalone desktop. They'll support two monitors. They don't do anything with another computer. You can remote into them with another computer and use them that way, or, you know, SSH into them, so forth, or make an SSH tunnel and use the core on that device on another computer without having the core running there. Yeah, exactly. That's the device right there. That's a new one. It's the red one, 3D printed in my garage. Yeah.
It's the dope one with the extra SSD at the bottom.
Yeah, so yeah, we've got those now that we're building. We've got blue ones, we've got red ones, we've got green ones, we've got gray ones, we've got black ones, all with those custom cases that we built and the custom operating system inside of them, which she just linked above there, the Brooklyn operating system. It's pretty amazing, guys. The new one that we're using now, thanks to H-Factor, he built out a version of Brooklyn Sinclair, which is one of the newest images that we've got and the newest kernel, and running, Mate desktop, and the thing is so fast. Like, I don't know how the hell he put so much performance or pulled so much performance out of a damn Raspberry Pi, but this thing could easily be used as a desktop replacement for most people. Like, unless you're doing games or video editing on your computer, this thing is literally a computer that you could use to replace your desktop computer at home. So they're pretty badass, guys. The next thing I want to do with those is build a solar-powered version. So I want to have, like, one with a solar panel. Yeah, I want one with a solar panel. Yeah, solar panel that'll run to a little battery. So you'll run completely off of solar, and then the battery will take up the slack during the nighttime. And I think
for a car, bro, I'm gonna need that.
I know. Yeah. So we'll have one of those, and then I want to build out a full system too that comes with a monitor, keyboard, mouse, everything. And I want to have everything customized with Cordal logos and so forth. And since we've got 3D printers, we can basically make all of that happen. And yeah, it's going to be pretty sweet. Like, with what happens with Croetic Hardware Development, we're going to go deeper into that.
Are you going to, I know you're going to hate this question. How are you going to add mesh networking to that device?
Yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah. No.
Tell me now. What's your plan? What is it? WireGuard and IP stack? Come on.
So, all right. So there are multiple different types of wireless technologies that could potentially make a mesh network, right? So a mesh network is just the concept of connecting directly to another node as opposed to connecting to the internet, right? So we're going to definitely do that. What I would like to see ultimately is our own communications protocol that does not rely upon IP addresses so that you can be basically completely anonymous if you're connected via the mesh network.
IPsec does that pretty well, though.
Yeah, and I don't want IP addresses to be part of it at all. I don't want IP addresses at all. No. I mean, you can make IP addresses anonymous, kind of, but never, like, completely, right? Like, so, I mean, you could do a damn good job of it with a few different services, and yes, we can use those now, but I want to see something that does not rely upon IP addresses whatsoever, so it doesn't, like, track your location at all.
Well, have you... Do you not plan on using TCP IP? I mean,
yes, exactly. Yeah, different protocol. Yeah, I want to develop a new protocol that does not use TCP IP. It's a different protocol. Yeah, right, I don't know what it's called yet because we haven't built it yet. But that's the idea. Yeah.
Come on, guys, I'll take all your ideas.
LokiNet. I've heard about that. Yeah.
I want it done like yesterday.
Yeah, I've heard of LokiNet. I haven't really like gotten deep into looking into it, but if everything that if you guys are talking about other mesh networks or other technologies that we could potentially build support for, right? Like, that would be great, right? Like, if these guys have already done a lot of the work. The problem is that a lot of them are not open source. Or, if they're open source, they have proprietary hardware. We cannot deal with either proprietary hardware or things that are not open source. So, if there is something that is open source and does not have proprietary hardware, so that hardware and the software are completely open source, and they've built something similar to what I'm talking about now, let me know. If you have communications with the team that's doing that, also let me know, because we could build support for other mesh network services, so allow us to connect with theirs and go from there, right? So, like, I want to use multiple different types of wireless communications to establish the mesh network. So depending on what your device has, or if you want to buy maybe a USB device that plugs in and gives you another type of wireless, that's fine too. But yeah, I would like to have, you know, wireless with a Wi-Fi mesh or a Bluetooth or any other types of long range wireless technologies that would allow the mesh to connect from longer distances. We are basically waiting right now because we need the overall size of the Cordal network to be larger so that you would actually have nodes nearby to connect to. So for example, right now, I believe I'm probably the only Cordal node within a 500 mile radius, right? So like there's no wireless technology that's going to connect 500 miles unless we're talking about like, what is that called? The long range communication thing. I forget what it's called right now. But yeah, there's a couple that can go those distances, but can they do everything that we need it to do in order to make everything on Cordal function? We don't know. So we will get there, man. We're not like focused on that aspect yet. Like the aspect we're focused on now is the data network. So as soon as we can start focusing on other things.
I'm just watching you sweat it out, bro.
I know. And so yes, we do want to have mesh network connectivity because we want to get rid of all centralized things. And to get rid of all centralized things, you have to also get rid of internet service providers because guess what? They're a fucking centralized thing. So all centralized things can go to hell as soon as we can do that. So yeah, that's the idea, is to get rid of everything that requires any sort of centralization, right? So we want to have mesh networking for sure.
I'm making you sweat it out because I am already working on it. So I have, I have a guy, his name is BMW Fan. He actually works in, a company that creates these devices, mesh networks. So he's going to create it his way, which is fine. As long as I have a mesh network that's a true mesh network, you know, not some...
And it needs to be open source. If somebody else does it open source, then great. We can build support for that. And, you know, I want to have, like, so ultimately we'll probably need, like, different types of gateway providers. Like, so you'll have a mesh network, and then you'll have one of those nodes on the mesh that gives you a gateway to the traditional internet so that you can use that while the mesh is still being built out. Once the mesh is completely built out, then you don't need any other sort of gateways. But I think a lot of the mesh nodes will also need to be gateways to different mesh networks or to the internet for now until it gets big enough to be solely run off of the mesh network and nothing else. Right. So,
are you planning on making the network integrated into Qortal or a separate application and hardware?
I want it to be integrated, yeah. So I think the software portion of it will probably be pushed as an auto update, just like we're doing with the addition of Qortal Data Network.
Well, the reason I ask is because if you have it integrated in with the Qortal node, then you're going to be locked into people buying into Qortal, whereas if you built it as a separate application, you could probably get buy-in from other projects who want to also run on a distributed mesh network separate from an IP address.
I mean, potentially it could be both.
You could, I'm just thinking you could probably build out the mesh network faster and get more adoption if you can get other projects running on the same network.
Yeah, I mean, totally. That would be great. Anybody interested in helping that collaboration take place?
Me,
absolutely.
Me.
Yeah, let's do it, man. Like, totally. Like, I want to see the mesh become a thing. I haven't started totally thinking about it myself yet because our development team is specifically working on Qortal Data Network right now. But that doesn't then say that we can't think about it or that we can't start coming up with a bunch of different ideas and put them all together.
Yeah, I was actually looking for something like this over the last few days. I'm like, is there a network out there that I could use or integrate and hop onto? Just because, you know, getting that hardware infrastructure and those antenna relay is insanely, that is a lot of work. It's a lot of money. Right. It's a lot of hardware.
And Qortal's already got some hardware creation going on.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, it's a lot of antenna hardware.
Yeah, it is. So, I mean, the way I see it working is, having it built into Qortal, but we could also have that portion of it that could be separated out too, right? So if you just wanted to build a mesh relay station, you could do that as well, right? So that makes sense.
I was thinking of creating it in Pirate OS itself before he even does it on his Qortal. That's why I let him sweat it out.
I was just looking for any kind of, my theory is, or my thinking process is basically if we look at one project, you're going to go 50 miles between nodes. But if you're looking at all of the projects across the entire, cryptosphere, you're going to get a lot more nodes a lot closer and probably need a lot less, antenna hardware.
Right. Well, one of the, like, the main functionality of Qortal is to be infrastructure, right? So ultimately, right, running a node is going to be a thing that most people are going to want to do regardless. So building an infrastructure also makes sense. But yeah, I know what you're saying too. For now, that totally makes a lot of sense. It's just get it going in whatever way that we can. And I'm totally open to that. And you know, we just need to get some collaboration going and get some of these developers who know this stuff, because I personally have no idea about mesh. I've not really like looked into it whatsoever. I know one of my developers knows a lot about it and I can pick his brain all day about it and find out all the details I want, but I'm just not there yet in my head to start thinking that direction. But that doesn't mean that other people can't do it and that we can start thinking about it together and come up with stuff. Totally. Ultimately, like, a lot of these other crypto projects will want to use Qortal's infrastructure for maybe like the front end of their things that use their own blockchain back end, and they can't do the front end decentralized, right? So like things like Steemit, for example. Like Steemit, you could have the Steemit UI, the thing that everybody uses and logs into on the website, that could be hosted on Qortal, so that then everything is actually decentralized at that point. Because right now, they have a centralized UI that talks to a backend that's decentralized. So a lot of those things like that could utilize Qortal's infrastructure to build their front end. So they were probably going to be wanting to run a Qortal node anyway to make that happen. So having the mesh built into the Qortal node would also work. But yeah, having it as a separate thing that could be run just to be like a mesh gateway or whatever, that could also work. Yeah.
I'll put up a post over here. This is the guy we were working on it today. His name is BMW Fan. He's going to start building it out. If you use it or not, that's fine. I just want something built. I want to see a transaction happen between one pirate wallet to another pirate wallet using a mesh network. I don't care at this point what protocols they're going to use, as long as it's a true mesh network, you know, so I could set up a Pirate OS in one vehicle, a Pirate OS in another vehicle, and I want to see a successful transaction. So that's what we're working on with BMW, Bifan. That's his name. So
yeah, I was reading about some of the mesh technology this week, and a lot of the mesh technology uses the traditional TCP/IP right. connections. They just configure the network a different way.
Yeah, and that's why I'm also saying that eventually I want to build a new community. Yeah, a lot of the mesh networks do use TCP/IP. So, I mean, that's cool and all, but like ultimately I'm trying to get away from that. So like I want to see a new communications protocol eventually. So I know that's a little bit down the line and something that we're not focused on right now, but ultimately I don't want to use TCP/IP. But, you know, in the meantime, we can definitely do that. And however many different types of mesh networks we need to build and then have them, one of them work as a gateway to then have some information go over the traditional internet or over another mesh network in order to get the end result accomplished, that's fine too, right? Like, it's going to be something that happens not all at once. It's going to be something that takes time and, you know, some effort to work together with multiple different things to make it all, happen in the end, but, yeah.
Forge is right though. They, you know, so all these networks, we're all looking for more nodes. And I mean, it's a common interest in everything. It's the whole reason why I wanted Pirate OS is because Tor works on this idea. I2P works on this idea. The more nodes, the more decentralized, right?
Right.
Like all these technologies work on the simple idea that if you could bring it under one roof, everybody will be using it for the reasons, you know, of Tor, of I2P, of IPFS, of Cordal, of Pirate Chain. Like, it could be all under one roof where if you need it, you'll be helping every single other network that needs more nodes at the same time.
Yeah. Totally possible. And I'm down. Just like, let's start thinking about it. Start thinking in that direction.
And Forge, that's the reason why I've been pushing Pirate to get on Cordal is because I see them having a really abundant amount of nodes at some point once it pushes through. The whole minting idea behind the way it works, you know, encourages more full nodes. So once we get a Pirate full node on it, you know, everybody that'll open up Cordal will open up Pirate as well, and we'll have more nodes on the network.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that should put that whole Monero, you know, saying that we don't have enough nodes. You know,
all of a sudden overnight, you guys like grow by 8,000 nodes. Yeah.
Yep. That would be great.
Right. And then we could have cool things like Anon Court that goes from court to Pirate and back to court. And so it makes an Anon Court transaction utilizing Pirate, which would be pretty sweet.
But that, now you're saying a little too much.
I know, right?
But yeah, so if we could automate that process.
Easily. It could be done. Yeah. I've already figured out a way to do it. It would just require a slightly different type of smart contract that just sits there and it holds the coin.
Like
okay.
Like an escrow?
Right. Yeah. An escrow.
If we could do that, we could build out.
We already have escrow contracts, so it's definitely possible.
That would be great if we could use like some type of escrow contract to create a local Monero.co for Pirate.
Yeah.
A local Pirate.co.
You can just do it on a registered name on Cordal. You don't even need a dot anything, but you can have a dot something if you want.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. And you know, people ask all the time too, like, can you access a Cordal hosted site outside of Cordal? And the answer is yes and no, right? Like you can, but you need to have a Cordal node set up as a proxy ahead of it. So the person who's building the site on Cordal, if they want people to be able to access that site through a traditional domain as well, they would have that traditional domain set up with a proxy that would then proxy the information through the Cordal node and then back from the Cordal node and put that information up on a traditional domain. So it's definitely possible to do that, yeah.
That's sick. So if I had a UI already ready, I'm not sure if this will work. Could you check it out real quick? I'm going to post it in the chat here.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think this code will work though, but.
If it's PHP, then no.
Check that out. I'm not sure if it's worked for you.
Okay, let me see. Hold on.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Yeah, so this is, one of our in-house developers created this UI. It's like a local Monero, but it's for Pirate.
looks like it's mostly JavaScript.
So the only thing that this site needs is a backend that holds the escrow. And that if you could accomplish the escrow using smart contracts on Cordal, I think this would be an automated possibility. Like right now, Local Monero has people on the back end doing all that work with the escrows. I don't know how they legitimately do it. But, you know, if we could automate the whole fucking thing, hands off, you know, nothing, you know, there'd be nothing, no one to complain to, you know, if you screw up, it's your fault.
Right.
And that's it, you know, and we'll get some exchanges going on through here.
Well, so the only problem is you're talking about US dollars, like, I don't know how that would work.
Oh, that's just what the drop down is. We can make the drop downs anything, right? I mean, this is just an example.
Well, the trade portal is basically the same thing, right? It's a P2P trade. Yeah. So if you're talking about like,
it's just the GUI. It could be changed. You know, everything here is changed.
Like, it looks like it's written in JavaScript, so it looks like that could easily be put up on Cordal.
Nice. It looks like I got another bounty set up for the next year.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm putting together the bounties for the next year, guys, for Acorn. So any of you guys are developers, we're going to have a new bounty board set up, and the bounties are going to be in Cordal, guys. Not pirate anymore.
Oh, another thing that's cool that we've got, that we had before on Cora, and that I would like to see rebuilt on Cordal, and just requires a little bit of modification to the existing smart contract, is crowdfund with a Q. Crowdfund is a crowdfunding platform where you'll be able to put up a proposal, right, with whatever you want to get funding for and a total amount that you want funded in court, then launch that smart contract. That smart contract sits there. Anybody can donate to it. If it hits the total that you're looking for or more, it will fund the creator of the smart contract. If it doesn't, it will automatically refund everybody who donated. So that right there, crowdfund with a Q, should be something that we can get launched on Cordal here very soon. It was something that was already on Cora, a decentralized automated crowdfunding smart contract. And with QDN and the stuff that we can do there, we can make those crowdfund proposals have full pictures and videos and everything. So you can, you know, put up your idea, get funding for it, and get on your merry way. And you could do it in phases if you want to, like, you know, if this phase gets completed, then we go to this phase and so forth. So it would be something that would be really cool. Like, so instead of, you know, launching a bullshit token for just getting funding for something, like what everybody seems to be doing these days, you could instead just launch a crowdfund and get your funding that way and not have to worry about making another bullshit token that will not be used for anything. So yeah, sweet.
Is this like is this going to be like a method of decentralized ICOs now?
I mean, it's a crowdfund, so no. Like, an ICO implies there's a coin involved. I'm trying to get rid of the coin part. Yeah.
Nice job, man. I love it.
Yeah. It's good, right? Yeah. I come up with some decent ideas sometimes.
No, it's non-greedy ideas. I mean, you're offering everything for free.
Right.
I mean, I think I saw Gruul Satinder, and everything he builds, he says it has to be free.
Right?
You know, you gotta, that's the way
it is. It's not only free, it pays you to use it.
Yeah, that'll be great, man. And it'd be awesome to see, you know, Gruul, if you want to talk, see some cooperation between Komodo and Cordal, you know, going forward.
Hello, guys. How you doing? I'm just going on and off on this chat. I don't know what exactly is going on.
Oh, that's all right, man.
Hello. So
we're going to be on Cordal soon. And
very nice.
Yeah, we were just talking about, you know, we're going to be able to host websites here in a couple of days, literally. So, like, this is stuff that we've been waiting for many, many years and getting everything going. So,
Gruul, please. Awesome. I'd love to hear your critiques, like, bash them. I want to hear the bad things about
Yeah, do it.
Critique about what?
Cordal.
Cordal. I haven't looked into it, so when I will look, I can share.
Yeah, please do. Check it out. Yeah, because we're about to go to version 3.0, which will allow us to literally start rebuilding the internet in a completely decentralized fashion. So it's pretty sweet.
I depend on you guys' feedback, you know, because I'm an idiot. You've seen me invest in a lot of stupid shit. I don't think Cordell is stupid shit, so, you know.
Wow, yeah, thanks, man. Yeah.
But I've made a lot of mistakes, and a lot of people have seen that in the past.
So. Yeah.
But I've seen you work with this. I know you for the last 7 years, so I'm taking a big leap of faith on you.
Yeah, man. No, I don't say things unless they're legit. Like, I just don't feel like wasting time trying to bullshit people.
How about video games, bro?
I know, right? I was thinking about that the other day. I think that's something that's going to have to come once we can do server-side hosting. I just don't see... I mean, we could do totally JavaScript, little JavaScript games and stuff like that. Anything that can be done in client-side languages can totally be done immediately. But like, as far as something like Fortnite or like a game that has like a server and so forth, I think those types of things will probably have to wait a little bit. Like, I know that Cal was talking about something where we could do completely off-chain data, and something like that might be able to be utilized for like running a game server and then only putting the data on chain at a certain point, like for saving like certain things, right? I don't know as far as exactly how something like that would work quite yet, but I would like to definitely see that become a possibility, because that's huge, right?
Rule Satinder is here. They did atomic swaps successfully, from what I understand, in Komodo, right? It's working with Pirate?
With Pirate Chain, yeah, that's our atomic swaps, they are referring it as. There was another atomic swap between Bitcoin, SegWit Bitcoin, and Pirate Chain. That was through ASMR, some developer from, yeah. I don't know, some another different community did that. We tested it.
We tried to make ASMR work, but it's only for Bitcoin clones, so that wouldn't work for Cordell, so we couldn't use that for the trade portal. Yeah.
Yeah, so as I see, it can be, what you say, it's a long route, but it's not a straightway route, but it would be like... You do with a SegWit-enabled cryptocurrency, and that SegWit-enabled cryptocurrency is then traded with another one. Not an ideal situation, but at least there is something, but it's not as ideal as globally or like widely supported one.
I heard that you could use a transparent address in the middle for the basically the P2SH portion of it, and then that could be used for a cross-chain trade with Pirate Chain, which I didn't believe that Pirate Chain actually used transparent addresses at all, right? So do they have the capability to use those? That's what they're saying.
That is exactly how Market Maker version 2 is doing, okay. Which means Atomic Dex. So right. What happened is recently when the idea of atomic swaps was solidified, how it can be done, then multi-signature capability was added. Like multi-signature transaction could be done, like from Pirate, like shielded transaction going to a multi-sig address, transparent address. Right. That is possible with Pirate Chain now, and because of that, we can make an atomic swap through Market Maker version 2, which is Atomic Dex backend API. It is possible.
Right.
I think it has to be done through a notary node, though.
No, I don't think there is any involvement of notary node. Notary nodes, that capability you are talking about is the delayed proof of work transaction. Because notary nodes have only transparent addresses to do.
Yes, yes, I know. But yeah? I think the consensus rule was set up so that a notary node had to make the atomic swap.
No, I don't believe that is the case, unless I'm wrong on this understanding.
I mean, I could be wrong. I didn't actually write the code. It was written on the Komodo side, and we just pulled it in.
Okay, then from the discussions I have read in the team and outside the team in public chats and with the developers like JL777 and Artem Pikulin, the understanding on this topic is anyone, if you, who is not a notary node, I don't know if you are. Anyway, if you are not a notary node, so if you try to send a transaction from a shielded address to a multi-sig address, you can do that. If you can test it, you can understand by practice like how it is possible.
I will test that. I will create a multi-sig,
sure, do it.
Multi-sig address and try doing that. But I I mean, I could be wrong. I really could be wrong.
That.
So that would mean
I open to whatever the options there are. So I keep myself open to be wrong. Right. Fine.
So yeah. That would mean we would have to build in a notary node into Cordal to make this transaction.
You don't need notary node. No.
Okay. Well, all right.
Do it.
Because the only thing that we're having, well, there's a couple things, right? Like the actual cross-chain trade is one thing, and then the communication with the pirate network is the other. So since you guys do not have Electrum support, we actually have to build our own wallet with our own light node essentially into Cordal to make the actual transaction hit the network. So that's what I'm like wondering. If we have to build specific types of functionality into that, then we'll have to know that ahead of time so we can actually do it.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be working on that pretty soon because I got another thing that I got to work on, a light client pieces. So I might try and work on the piece that you need at the same time.
Okay, yeah, that would be sweet. Like, yeah, just let me know. Like,
oh, I love your push.
Yeah, it would be awesome, like, because any assistance we can get from your guys' side is definitely helpful, because otherwise we're doing it all ourselves, and we just, you know, have to build whatever
we
can come up with. Yeah, by yourself, bro.
I've already been working on, like I've been working on our Android Lite wallet this last couple of weeks, and it does some things, but it uses a Cordova plugin that I wrote.
Okay.
But I don't think that's quite the same thing as what you need.
Yeah, I mean, all we need to do is be able to submit the transactions, the certain types of transactions that we need to submit to the network. That's all. So, like, however you know.
Because of the way the sapling witness trees work, you have to sync the chain even on a light wallet.
Yeah, so that would be okay. Like, if we just build in a light wallet and just, you know, let people know that it has to be synchronized too. The same thing, like a Cordal node that has to be synchronized in order to do trades on Cordal. So it's not that big of a deal. We just have to, you know what we're doing so we can actually do it and then put the wording in the UI so people understand what's going on. That's all.
Right.
Would open light wallets increase the number of nodes on the network still?
I mean, a light client is not quite the same thing as a full node, but it would still be a node. Yeah.
What's your node written in?
Well, the backend of Cordal is written in Java. The UI is JavaScript. Well, Node.js, but yeah.
Then the Cordova template might actually work for you, give you what you need, because it's got the Java, it's got the it's got the functions to glue the Rust library to Java.
Okay.
And then it's got the JavaScript to run the transactions.
Sweet.
So all of the stuff might already be there for you guys to use.
Okay.
Just need to take a look at it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, can you link that to me so I can like put it over into our development server and have the guys check it out?
Yeah, or yeah.
If you wanted to join our development server, that's also a possibility.
Yeah, send me.
Okay, cool. I'll send you an invite.
Fucking history in the making. See this?
Yeah, see, Luce, you said you wanted us to work together. I'm like, yeah, absolutely, let's do it. So
I know a lot of geniuses, man.
Let's get them all working together. We need them all.
I need all you guys to start working together.
Yeah, so I sent you an invite.
I got is a big mouth, you know, and I use that to the best of my ability.
That's good. Yeah.
I'll join a little later. Right now I'm making dinner.
Yeah, no problem, man. Just whenever you jump in, just, you know, say hi and I'll introduce you and so forth. So
yeah, sweet. Cause I'm pretty sure I've already got all that code written.
That's awesome, man. So yeah, then we should be able to make this happen relatively quickly.
Heck, that's awesome.
Cause our Pirate Lite CLI is already
what? Sorry, you cut out the end there.
We already compile it to a library for our Lite wallet, for our mobile wallet.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Which uses, a JavaScript front end.
Oh, perfect. So yeah, that should be great. And yeah, cause what we'll need, we already have, like we use, what's it called? Bitcoin J right now for the wallets inside of the UI for the wallets outside of Cordal. So we have that, and we could just add whatever other library we need for your guys' transactions. That would be perfect.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Well, before you go, I want to ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
So the Light wallet for mobile, the one that you made, is it based on Zek wallet?
Yeah, it's the Zek wallet CLI. So basically the Pirate Light wallet and Skull Island both use the Pirate Light CLI as the back end.
Yeah.
So the Pirate Light has a Qt front end and the Rust back end.
Right.
That's compiled to a library.
Because I saw there are two different implementations of fast synchronizing of Light Wallet. One is from a developer who is active in YCash. I can share his username. He's some H-A-N, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there is also recently I saw Zek Wallet had implemented, I think it's old news, Blaze Sync, something like that. So they say this synchronizes the whole blockchain in less than 60 seconds.
Oh wow. That's probably some updates to the Light Wallet CLI and the lib Rust Zcash.
Yeah.
I haven't updated either of those libraries in quite a while.
Have a look at them. I'm sure you can find and you can implement those in your programs pretty quick.
Yeah.
The benefit for honestly, that is
Well, either way, it sounds like we're going to be able to get this done quote, more quickly than I realized. So that's cool.
So if we could add Pirate, that means that we could utilize anything on the Cordal network, like the smart contracts, right?
Well, kind of. The smart contracts, they are written for Quartz, right? If you were to become a Cordal sidechain, then yes, you could use those. But the smart contracts are written for Quartz for the most part. But that's not then to say that we couldn't make some that support other coins that are supported in Cordal. But those would have to be ones we would have to write for that purpose, right?
I'm guessing that's a no.
No, right now, yeah. Yeah.
I think I can also share a little bit on the work that I'm doing. Thanks to Forge, because there was last bugs which were not able to make the Android wallet work, the work that I'm doing with my Meshbits team. It is now has started. The new UI UX is now implementing on the Android wallet version of the iOS version that I have released through Meshbits.
Oh, it's a new Meshbits wallet coming
up? Yep, now the Android wallet is under development. The new UI UX is being implemented on it for Android One.
I liked mesh. I like the word mesh. Turns into
Yeah, it seems like you do, man. You're obsessed today with this mesh.
So we're gonna have two Android wallets here soon.
Sorry, your voice is cracking. What you said?
Two Android wallets, I believe.
Yeah, we're gonna have two Android wallets here real soon. We're gonna have Skull Island and we're gonna have the Meshbits wallet. They have plugins, so it's going to be interesting to see what their performance is like. The Skull Island uses the Pirate Light CLI backend. The Meshbits will use the Zcash SDK backend.
Yeah. And I'm trying to stick to the upstream, upstream code base and not doing extreme modifications to that, to the backend at least, but to the front end, so that it is least conflicting with the upstream code, and upstream code is able to fetch and apply to this wallet as long as it's possible.
Nice. Have a Tokel. Aren't they making an exchange as well? I know the wallet has it. It's just not available at the moment.
Yeah, the main focus right now is to enable token creation, the NFT and token creation on Tokel. And I think the tool has been out. It's been in testing for a while now. I don't know what their status is. I'm not up to date with their tech. But we can expect debt on that as well, because NFTs will be traded on their wallet as well.
Hey, do you see any use for the storage and NFTs coming? And any NFTs on Cordal?
So I'm thinking that NFTs are stupid, but listen. So the names market is going to be the thing that makes everyone really happy on Cordal, right? So you can not only do like what they're doing with these NFTs, but you can put an entire website and an entire GitHub repo and an entire base of followers and everything all at once and sell that, right? Yeah.
Grill, this is going to be like NXT. Remember when they put up the names back in the day and everybody started buying names?
Yeah, but much better because the name comes along with namespace and it also comes along with the followers and it comes along with a GitHub repo and everything.
NXT was way ahead of its time, man.
Yeah, I liked it.
That is true. Very, very ahead.
But their code base was hard.
They actually had a market system with their own naming system. It was
That's part of where, like, I mean, Cora got some of those ideas, I believe, from NXT, and the same idea when I was working on Burst, they had, you know, NXT's clone. So, like, a lot of these concepts are similar to those things, but the names market on Cordal will have a lot more functionality that comes along with it. So that's the cool part, is that you'll be able to have an entire website and all of the followers and everything that comes along with that name and the GitHub repo and everything all at once. So you can sell not only just like an NFT, but it's like a name that has like a bunch of shit attached to it, whatever kind of shit you want to attach to it, right? So I think that's kind of what's going to replace NFTs. It's not really like just a little token. It's like
get
a bunch of things.
Rule, get Komodo guys, get them involved with Cordal, and get in Cordal developers, get all you guys need to start talking to each other, cause, you know, I talk to all of you guys separately, and you guys are creating like all amazing stuff, and if you get your technologies together, we could create this parallel ecosystem I want to see happen.
That's the idea, and that's why, you know, Cordal is meant to be inclusive, and that's why we're building support for other coins, and we're, you know, allowing people to build whatever they want on top of Cordal, and like, we could help out a lot of different things. Like, if people have, like, decentralized backends and a centralized front end that it talks to, like, you can just build that centralized front end on top of Cordal, so then it makes everything centralized.
I see Cordal as a highway.
It's the infrastructure, man. That's what it's supposed to be, absolutely, yeah.
And we could be on many highways, you know?
More,
I'm sure a lot more will be coming out.
For sure. All the good technology come to us.
Hey guys, if you got any questions, please ask. This is a mosh pit. Don't be shy.
Yeah.
This is why I like.
I was wondering if there's somewhere else for a bunch of links to get involved.
Links? Yeah. So Cordal.org is the link for Cordal's main website, and there's download links there. There's also links to our GitHub, to our Telegram, to our Discord. Yeah. So,
Meshbits.
Yeah.
I think Meshbits. That
I'm confused about going to Cordal.
Yeah, it's like Portal with a backwards P. So Qortal. And someone just posted a link there. Jay just posted a link there.
Okay, great. Awesome.
What question about IPFS? I didn't see the IPFS question.
Dr. Keys. He's a regular.
Dr. Keys.
Keys is a regular here.
Nice. So like, IPFS. We'll find out.
Also meshbits.io, I believe, guys.
How is Cordal considered an improvement over IPFS? Okay, so I haven't like actually directly used IPFS all that much, but I know they do similar things where it's all by hashes and so forth, but it's really going to be a lot easier to use. Plus, having the ability to follow names and so forth and getting more peers from those names, it's just going to be a lot simpler. Plus, it's going to have a blockchain that secures everything. So, I don't know. What specifically are you asking about? Like, it's a lot easier and it's a lot more secure because of the blockchain. I guess is the simplest answer. I don't know.
How is Cordal considered an improvement over IPFS, for instance?
I mean,
it's basically kind of the same, though.
No, it's not the same at all. Like, I don't know. It's a lot easier to use. You can use, I mean, I don't know how they work with naming. Like, what do they use for names? Is it all just random hashes or what?
Hashes.
Yeah, if it's all just random hashes, then it's like harder to.
So they don't have a QDN. They do have IPNS. That's not that easy to set up or use.
Like, I don't know. Like, you'll have a name that you register, right? So you can use that name as opposed to using a hash. It'll be easier for peer discovery, things like that, because it's all stored on the blockchain. You'll have no limits to file sizes. I don't know what they have as far as that goes. Like, I haven't used IPFS in a really long time, and I've only used it, like, a couple times, and I found it very, like, convoluted. Cordal is not going to be convoluted. It's going to be easy to use. So, I don't know. There's a lot of, like, subtle differences as far as that goes, but ultimately, it's, like, similar concepts, but with a bunch of different data concepts, centralized data concepts all put together and made it, presented in a very simple fashion. So like even like people who have no idea what they're doing should be able to find and browse and use websites on Cordal or even create their own, very easily without having to worry about like getting lost.
We just got a new research topic for a new article.
I know. I have to like go install IPFS again and see like what the hell the differences actually are, but I know they're numerous and I know that the main one is that Cordal is going to be a hell of a lot easier to use. Plus we have a blockchain backend that they don't have. So we have a whole extra added layer of security and it makes it easier for a lot of things to happen too. So, I don't know. You'll see the differences when we launch it.
What's the motivation to run I'll tell you the difference. What's the motivation to run an IPFS node, a full node? There is none. There's your difference.
I mean, there is, like, in
no,
theory,
there
right? Like, exactly. You could,
no,
you could
none.
Use it to, just so that you have the access to this network, right? Like, that's really it. It's like an intrinsic type thing. But, you know,
you're
there's actually...
At the same time, you have
yeah.
the motivation.
With Cordal, you have a motivation to be there, for sure. Yeah. And plus, it's not just the data network
that
Cordal is.
And they suffer from the same problem all these similar technologies suffer from. There's not enough nodes.
Yeah, and I was...
All the same.
I don't know how their back-end functions as far as, like, if there are multiple copies of the same data, can you get all of that data from each peer at the same time? Or, like, I mean, does it get faster as there are more of them?
Cordal full nodes are incentivized by its mining platform. So you don't, it's not a separate person running a GPU somewhere, you know, trying to get rewards, you know, with no full node.
Running on a pool and so
right.
forth, yeah.
Right. So the pool would be the full node that you're running. You're
just, right, yeah. Cordal is a pool, essentially, the entire network
right, so,
is.
Right, so the motivation to mine is tied together with keeping that node up, a full node up and running.
Right.
So that'll be everybody. That'll be a lot of people at some point. And I imagine that I just can't, this is going to be sick how big this could grow.
I know.
I've never seen something put together like this where, you know, you're forcing people to put up a full node and leave it on.
It's because it needed to be decentralized. And that's really the only way to make something completely decentralized is that everyone needs to run a node and you cannot get around that if you want something to be completely decentralized. So yeah, like the whole idea behind it is to be that way. It's supposed to be where everybody runs a node. If you want access to the network, you run a node. Like that's how it's supposed to be. So yeah.
Also the size of the file is according to the amount your local node could hold, right? So if I were to upload a 1 terabyte movie on IPFS, I would need just that amount local to me available so that I could pin it down, till it starts, you know, being replicated. So it works very similar to Cordal. So
yeah.
I'm actually very curious as to what Zardigrade, our researcher and writer, will come up with for this article. It'll be awesome.
For sure, yeah. Like, you'll be able to tell us the differences in a couple of days.
Yeah. That's it. And this is how we make ideas happen, guys, and this is how we teach each other. I don't know all the differences. I have used both.
I know that, like, last time I used IPFS, I found it very convoluted and confusing. Like, and if I find it convoluted and confusing, I feel like almost everyone else is probably going to feel the same way. So
you got to be familiar with command line.
Right.
That's the drawback there. You know, no one's going to start Daemon and go IPFS. Nobody knows the commands. I mean, you're going to sit there and learn it, but there's not that many people that are willing to do that.
Right. And I'm sure there are user interfaces and so forth that make it simpler and whatever, but ultimately we're trying to make a single user interface that allows you to do all the things that you want to do, like sending coin or trading or communicating or, you know, creating a website or viewing a website or whatever, all in the same spot, right? And make it really easy so that people see the things on the left-hand side, they click the one that they want, and they can get to it, and it's simple, right? So that's really the focus of Cordal, is to bring all this amazing technology that has, like, very, you know, complex stuff in the back end going on, but making it really, really easy and straightforward for everyone to use. Like, to create a Cordal account is probably the easiest thing that anyone can do. Once they've got the software set up, it's literally just a few clicks and you've got an account. So, like, we made everything as simple as possible. So we want to be able to reach everyone. Yeah.
Now, ultimately, are you going to need, like, a Raspberry Pi in order to do all this?
All I heard was ultimately a Raspberry Pi and wallets.
Yeah, you could use a Raspberry Pi, or you could use any regular system, man. The Raspberry Pi is just to demonstrate that you don't need a lot of power.
Right, exactly. And the computers that we're selling on Croetic.com, they're fully open source hardware level up, with our fully open source operating system, which is a Linux kernel that we customized and so forth. That's all, you know, on a Raspberry Pi. So yeah, we can do it on a Raspberry Pi, or you can do it on a Linux, Windows, Mac, BSD, any operating system you feel like running. Anything that will run Java will run Cordal, essentially. Even as low as like 1 to 2 gigabytes of RAM will run it. So, it's really, really, really inclusive as far as hardware goes. Like, you don't have to have any sort of special hardware. You don't have to have a bunch of GPUs or an ASIC or anything like that. You literally just need a simple computer.
Oh, when are we going to have full nodes on phones, bro? That's going to be
sick. Dude, okay, so we actually have that potential already. We're demoing a mobile, simple mobile wallet right now, but what I want to turn that mobile wallet into is actually a mobile wallet node where you will run a top-only node, so it won't benefit the network as much, but it'll be able to run on a phone, and it'll run on about 700 megabytes of total space on the phone. And
Can I mint? Yes.
So you will be able to mint from the phone and use all of the other functionality, including the data network and everything else, from your phone. And all of this stuff already runs on a phone. I've already run a full node on a phone before, not even a top-only node. I run a full node on a phone. So it's already possible. We just have to actually get the development done for the application itself. It's crazy. Yeah. And so, like, the only thing that people complain about is like, oh, it takes a few days to get a sponsorship sometimes. Yeah. Like, there are only so many level 5 accounts that exist right now. Like, as things continue, those number of accounts will increase and then more sponsors will be available. Also, I am thinking of an idea called the sponsorship board, where people will come, and if they're looking to get sponsored to become a minter, they'll put up a card on this board with information about themselves, and they can put tags on it like developer or writer or influencer or I'm awesome or whatever. Put tags on it and fill out the information, say whatever they want to say about themselves, and put that card up on the board. And then sponsors can come and just browse the cards, find somebody that they like, and click sponsor. It will issue the sponsorship key, and it will PM it to the person, and then the person just has to assign the key to their node. Once they assign the key to their node, then that card will count down until that person reaches level 1 and we're good to go. Like, so the sponsorship system will become a little bit less clunky, because right now you have to communicate in whatever chat, either in QChat or in Discord or Telegram, and communicate and get a sponsorship that way. It's a little bit more difficult than it should be, right? But yeah.
All you pirates, you know, I've said it before in many previous shows with Crow, just contact us. You contact Crow, just say you're part of the community, and I got all your names listed here that have attended the shows. So if you're interested and you want a key, just contact Crow, say you're part of the pirate community and want to get involved.
Yep, absolutely. I will take care of you as I can. Right now, my sponsorship slots are basically all full, but they fill out, or they, you know, they, every other day or so, I'm getting more that are opening up. So, just, you know, a little bit of patience sometimes, and that's all you need. So it's not like, no, you have to go buy an ASIC. It's $16,000. Then you can start mining. Nope. Just, you know, wait a couple days and I'll get you sponsored. So yeah.
We're not tracking. If I remember your name, it's because you've been here. The tracking is going on in my mind, guys. And I forget everything. So don't worry about it.
So no, you can't opt out of his mind.
That's how I do everything, if you haven't noticed. There's nothing recorded anywhere.
Right.
I just hope I don't forget my keys.
I think I gotta get going here in a few minutes. Is there anything else you guys want to ask before I go?
Yeah, man, nice job, bro. Love listening to tech stuff and great collaboration between the pirates here. Thank you, Forge, for coming on. And
yeah, thanks, man.
Those are two great guys that help push Pirate to the top. Actually, they're probably the main two guys that help push Pirate to the top.
Awesome. Yeah, I got an invite out to Forge, so he should be jumping in our development server, and we'll have a little bit more direct communication with him, and we can be able to get that done pretty quickly. I think after QDN launches, we'll have a little bit more time to focus on other things, and listing a couple more coins is definitely on the list there, so it should not be that much longer. I can't really give a date, but I would say within the next month or so sounds reasonable enough. So yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, that would be awesome. All right, guys, so I'm going to drop out. It was a lot of fun. I'll talk to you all soon.
Hey, brother, thank you for coming. Love you, man.
See ya.
Right, all right. That was Croatic from we got the updates. Cortel, again, because my battery's about to die. There we go. Hey guys, ask your questions. If not, we're going to close this meeting. It's been going on for quite a while now. Thanks for coming on, fellas. And, thanks for the TNA. We always love the TNA from Matt. And, great job. Hey, good questions, guys. We're not hiding anything. There's nothing. I do these meetings to show that we don't fucking hide anything. You know, we're thinking of it as we go. I mean, this is organized chaos, I guess you want to call it. You know, as we come up with ideas, we make them happen. That's the only way things happen. And, you know, it's in the chaos where we figure out where we could do things that we didn't know we could do. Like we did today with Gruul and Forge coming on, you know, and Crow, we figured out that we could do things we couldn't do before. See, so I love these meetings. We're going to keep them going, guys. Next week is the monthly update, so we won't have a regular meeting like this. But from now on, it will be a mosh pit. I don't want to be center stage anymore. I want all of you to be center stage. All right, so you guys could come in here and talk and if you got problems, you feel like there's some type of issue with the code, you know, I heard that there was some bullshit going on recently where, you know, some guy was saying, oh, you know, there's Lutz wrote the code and it's got vulnerabilities. Dude, I can't write anything. If you know me, I don't have that ability. So, you know, the farthest I go is probably PHP and HTML. That's not really a code. So, the markup language. So I'm not that good. But these guys, you know, we depend on Gruul. We depend on Forge, and they make things happen. Look at all these things that are happening. All of you guys that feel like you're jumping out of Pirate because you think you lost a lot. You know, tell that to us that actually have diamond hooks, you know, and have seen our portfolios fly up and down for many months. But you know what? We keep believing. Keep believing, guys. We know that this technology will free us. It's the only ones that are going to free us. Komodo technology. They work on freeing us. You may not think so, but they do. I've known this for 8 years now. A lot of great stuff has come out of Komodo. The first time I ever heard of a decentralized exchange was Komodo, or at that point in time, SuperNet, right? You know, and we come from a background of, you know, coins like NXT, which had, if you guys don't know it, you just do some research. It was a pretty badass coin. It was so fucking sexy. It had all kinds of tokenization options and it had things that I still don't see today. It had an in-wallet marketplace. I actually bought some silver coins right from the marketplace within the wallet, and that was 7 years ago. So if that doesn't blow your mind, So it, like these things you think are new are not new to me. And I'm tired of hearing the same old shit. So, you know, we're accelerationists here at Pirate. You know, I'd like to see the stuff be done yesterday. Unfortunately, we don't have those kinds of developers here, but you know, if you guys are a developer, and you're interested in helping Pirate, please contact Gruul Sitinder, contact Forge, say, listen, I know how to do this type of coding, and you know, maybe they have a spot for you. You know, if you know Node.js or C, you know, C++, whatever you know how to do, bring it in. You know, all talent is welcome. There's, you know, even if you're just a UI dev, that's fine. You know, there's room for that too. There's room for everybody. There's all kinds of projects on the table. The parallel economy is not going to build itself. You developers are the kings of this world. Keep saying it. You're going to believe me eventually. Because it's true. If you don't know how to develop at some point in time, you won't be able to secure your own freedoms. And you're gonna depend on pirate developers like Gruul and Forge to pave the way for you, to make it easy for you to create your own tokens for your businesses or to create your own Komodo asset chains, you know, for your business or, you know, add your technology to their technology, which will be a lot more decentralized than private. I mean, if you guys haven't learned, you know, or listen, just listening to Croatic, you can see why I like him. It's because he's a pirate. He doesn't give a shit about centralized exchanges. He wants that to run so independent. I really love that about him. That's his best quality is that he believes this whole thing could run without KYC and without, you know, a completely separate economy, which is what we're aiming for. So, you know, having somebody like that aboard the pirate ship, I think is really beneficial. Having other projects that are like that, you know, like Komodo, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, the Atomic Dex has KYC. It doesn't have KYC. You could fork it anytime you want. And we can make 100 Atomic Dexes and then you'll realize that, you know, the code that they built is something superior and amazing. And all of you could just fork it today and call it, you know, whatever your name is, you know, John Dex, and you can have your own Dex, because if you're a developer, you got that power, you know. You'll be one of the kings of this world, just creating your own Dexes for your own transactions. And I see us moving into that direction. As, you know, if things like Cordal don't work out, I mean, people are going to have to start creating their own Dexes locally. And, you know, I think we'll get there. I think we'll get there, guys. I'm all talked out. That's my biggest asset, right, guys? I talk a lot. If you guys have any questions, ask now. We are sponsoring. We are now sponsors of Anarchapulco. That decision was made today. And we are now sponsors of the Greater Reset, guys. That also was made today. And we'll be participating in those two events coming down the line. We have a few more talks coming as well. We're going to start the new year strong, guys. So, let's put Pirate back on the map. What was that?
The Greater Reset.
Yeah, the website is the Greater Reset. It's a big event in Texas happening.
Texas.
Yeah, well, it's in Mexico as well. I mean, I think they got a couple location points to go talk at.
What is the date of that? Is that after Anarchapulco? Or?
No, I think Anarchapulco will be after that. That's before Anarchapulco, I believe. So there'll be a few events we'll be at, guys. Keep an eye out. You know, I believe, you know, we have to support the people who have supported us. That's why we made those decisions today. You know, Jeff Berwick, you know, I know a lot of you, you don't talk, you know, good about him, but he's been a good friend of mine for a while now. He's always supportive of us, and we need to support people in return, right? So I, you know, Anarchapulco is definitely something I want to support. So we did that today. If you guys are going there, hit me up and let's get some collaboration because we do need some boots on the ground to help out with t-shirts and all kinds of stuff like that. All right, guys, this is Lutz. I love you all. I'm going to sign out and drink some rum. If you guys want to do an internal meeting, Gruul and anybody, you know, on the team, I don't see many people on the team these days coming to these shows, but, I'll just jump into the internal chat real quick, and if people show up, they show up. All right, guys. Love you all. This is Lutz signing out.
Thanks, Lutz. Thanks, Gruul. Have a good night, guys.